Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8.
Since we had a special weekend last weekend, it's been a little while since we've been into the Gospel of Luke. And when we left it, we were in the parable that is found beginning in verse 4, as the multitudes gather, the parable of the four kinds of ground and the response to each. And we come down to verse 11. We already have established the kinds of ground. This would be ground that they were acquainted with in those times. And basically, you would have the types of ground whereby in Palestine the stones were close to the surface, and therefore you would have the type of ground that might have a quarter inch, eighth inch of dirt, good dirt on top of it, and the seed would immediately grow and come up quickly, but then when it reached for depth, there was no depth there and it would die. And it's this type of thing that he's talking about. The other thing we need to keep in mind is that through the fields where things were planted, there were often roads. And on those roads, they would be pressed down hard, and consequently, anything that fell on those hardened parts would not grow. And it is with that that we have Jesus teaching in Luke chapter 8, coming down to verse 12, which is the explanation of the parable. And so we'll simply call this explanation of the kinds of reception to the word. In each case, in fact, in all four cases of the four kinds of soil, there is always good seed. There is always seed that is there, that is ready, that is able, and that will grow. So in no case is there anything wrong with the seed. In no case is there anything wrong with the sower. The entire thing rests on the reception ability of the different kinds of ground. And just about 3 minutes ago, Nancy Rowe handed me a page pulled out of Reader's Digest. That looks Reader's Digest-like, isn't it? Reader's Digest. And it's an interesting statement from a non-Christian, James Michener, who says, "An age is called dark, not because the light fails to shine, but because people refuse to see it." And that is an excellent quote, illustrating just exactly what we're talking about. Nothing wrong with the sower, nothing wrong with the seed. The good seed is there. The problem is with reception. And so we can understand the elements involved in each type. We will label each one. First, beginning with chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, "And those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they may not believe and be saved." And we will summarize that very simply. This describes the unresponsive heart. Unresponsive heart. And it describes the type of individual that receives the seed, but does nothing with it. It is interesting, by the way, in verse 12, since these people treat the word of God indifferently, since they do not believe it, since it is easily taken away, it's interesting to see the work of Satan in the picture. They will not believe it, and he takes it away. And so we can make a statement that is important, I think, is to treat the word of God lightly is to cooperate with Satan. To treat the word lightly, as they did. They did not believe it. But to treat it lightly is not merely a human aspect. Notice Jesus brings in the supernatural aspect. The devil takes it away. So to treat the word lightly is to cooperate with Satan. Dash doesn't belong in cooperate, does it? C-O-O-P-E-R-A-T-E. To treat the word of God lightly is to cooperate with the work of Satan. Second aspect that's involved in this is simply this. Between reception of the word and the snatching away by Satan between the reception and the snatching, the hearer does nothing. Between the reception and the snatching, the hearer does nothing. And the hearer doing nothing is the opportunity that Satan has to do his work, which he does. We might compare that, keeping your finger here, with Ezekiel 33:32. Many times in going through a book, you'll get an idea and you'll flag it to do some further study on. And I think one of the interesting and really worthwhile studies would be to trace out, both in the Old and the New Testament, different kinds of reception, different things that people did with the Word of God, why they did it, and what the results were. Ezekiel 33:32. Putting it in very colorful expression, God speaks to Ezekiel and says, "Because you are to them like a sensual song, by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not practice them." And notice that describes, speaking to Ezekiel, what you have here is the unresponsive heart. Back to Luke, the second type. Verse 13. "And those on the rocky soil," and this represents now a different kind of reception, "those on rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a little while, and in a time of temptation fall away." And I would call that impulsive heart, impulsive response. No response, impulsive response. Or, this is those who hear the word, and these they are those who respond with nothing deeper than emotion. Those who respond with nothing deeper than emotion. Nothing wrong with emotion and excitement and thrill with respect to the Word of God, but it must be tied to something else. And we ought to put that down, I think, as a principle. Emotion must be rooted in conviction, deep conviction and belief. Must be rooted in conviction. And by conviction, we mean the belief of the mind. And in this case, that is not the case. There's no root. Third type, following verse 14, "The seed fell among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity." And I would label that, for memory's sake, preoccupied heart. Preoccupied heart. And he lists the dangers and the preoccupations that cause this type of response. Worries simply means a concern. They go on the way, they're choked with concerns, all kinds of concerns, and I'm sure there's nothing really there to imply that the concerns, or as our translation has said, worries, nothing there to say that they're not legitimate. They may be legitimate concerns of life. But we have to remember that legitimate concerns are also dangerous because they can preoccupy us. Riches, pleasures of this life have no fruit to maturity. Fourth type of ground. 15. "And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast." That's a key, I think. They hang in there. Hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. The hold it fast, by the way, does imply that there is effort. And it does imply that, like all the other kinds, that if we don't value the seed, then it will be lost. In other words, it implies a tendency for the seed to slip away. And that is certainly there, and we could call that the prepared heart. And the two things I think that are essential about it is to notice the reception is initial, but it is also maintained. There is initial response. There is also maintained response. Now, coming off of this parable, you have a little section, and let's read through it. It's verses 16 through 18. And it reads, "Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light." Coming right now out of the parable of the sower, which has to do with reception, how many have, as I have over the years, heard verse 16 presented purely as a witnessing verse? You know, the lamp under the thing, you let it shine before men. That is doubtless there. But it isn't interesting that Jesus does not make a break between the parable of the sower on reception when he moves into verse 16, which has to do with the concept of putting a light under a lampstand or under a bed or under a container. So I think, at least initially, and we'll come back to this, that the primary reference of verse 16 within its context is not witnessing. The primary thing is the same theme that we've had, which has to do with the reception of the word. Now, in these little sections, we're going to have four common sayings of Jesus. Luke 8:16 through 18. Each one of the gospel writers notes that there are certain things that Jesus was always saying. And when we talk about common sayings, we mean things that Jesus often repeated. How many times, for example, when we go down to, verse 18. Anyone familiar with the teaching of Jesus knows that repeatedly he had a remark like this, over and over. "Therefore, take care how you listen." And that is shot through the teaching of Jesus. And so, Luke is, in this context, going to give us four grouped together sayings that Jesus said here, he said it in Galilee, he said it down around Judea, he said it at this place, and this is what he is picking out in this particular question. Now, just by way of introduction to those sayings, number one, the disciples, we must remember, had asked a question back in verse 9. The disciples had posed a question in verse 9, and Jesus answered it. And let's go back to that question, because it sets the context. Verse 9 of chapter 8. The disciples began questioning. They had a flood of questions as to what the parable might be, and he said. And on we come with the mystery of the parables, and then on to the parable of the four kinds of reception. So the context is, what about these parables? Can you explain them to us? And the Lord very clearly answered them. Now, in so doing, he had given them light. Now, this will all tie into the context. In so doing, he had given to them light. Now, does it not make sense that in giving them light, in answer to the question that they had asked, that in giving them light, you might find a little section about how you treat light. And I think really after he begins to give them light, the first thing he does is change over to the, from the light metaphor, over to the seed metaphor and how it is received. But notice when we come to verse 16, after the parable of sowing seed and receiving seed, he immediately begins in verse 16 to talk about light. And therefore, Luke 8:16 through 18 has a theme. And the theme is how men handle light. How men handle light. And therefore, it is sort of summary-like. It reiterates with a different figure, light, not seed, in this point, what the theme really is. And they are four in number. And we ought to list what the four are. And I'll give them to you here. The four in number, and then second, we will show where they occur elsewhere. Number one is the saying of 8:16, which is, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. So 8:16 is the first saying, repeated in Luke 11, and let's go to it, 11:33. Remember, these are sayings, and as sayings, they are repeated, and we're told the various places that they're spoken. So 11:33, same saying. Notice if you have a red-letter Bible, it's the word of Jesus. Same saying, no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar, nor under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, in order that those who enter may see the light. And so notice Luke takes the same saying, repeats it again in his teaching, as well as, and we do not need to go to it, but as well as Matthew. Matthew 5:15 also repeats the saying of Luke 8:16. Second saying is Luke 8:17. Nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. And go to Luke 12:2. And notice in Luke 12:2, the saying is repeated again. And again, it is in the words of Jesus. Luke 12:2, but there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. And therefore, this is repeated in Luke chapter 12, verse 2. And without going to it, Matthew also repeats it in chapter 10, verse 26 of his gospel. Notice these are regarded as sayings of Jesus, and we'll want to look at each one. Three, is 8:18a. 8:18a. Therefore, take care how you listen. And that is repeated in Luke 14:35. It is repeated in Matthew 11:15, 13:9, 13:43, and in the Gospel of Mark 4, verse 9. And I'm going to put by that third one a star. And the reason for that is there is probably few things that Jesus warns more sternly about. Is be careful the way you listen to the word. And the essence of it is going to be this, and it's very sobering. You had better never hear than to hear and not heed. If you have an option of total rejection of the Word of God, you are better off than to have listened and not. And that is sobering in that if we sit here this morning and hear the Word of God and proceed on in life, not to pay any attention to it, it would have been much better had we never come here this morning. And the reason for that is God has a judgment that He works on hearing
and not believing and obeying. And that judgment is called the hardened heart. Because the more we listen without believing and obeying, the harder the heart becomes and the more impossible it becomes. It's sort of an innate judgment that God has worked in. Remember, Isaiah was told this, that I want you to go out and preach my word so that hearing they may hear and not believe, and seeing they may see and not believe. And the emphasis is, the more we hear without proper response, the harder we get, and that is regarded as a divine judgment that begins to make hearing. Think of it as a callus. You rub something over a part of your skin over and over and over until the skin gets tough. And pretty soon, you can take a pen and stick it in the callus and you don't feel anything. And that is an illustration of the way, the seriousness of be careful how you listen. And we'll look at how you listen, what you listen to, the way you listen. There'll be a lot of warnings about that in Scripture. But this is an important saying of Jesus, and it is shot through His teaching. The fourth is Luke 8:18b. Whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. And this is exactly the principle we just had, is the idea of reception, ability to receive diminished as we do not respond properly to it. And that particular saying is repeated in Luke 19:26. Matthew picks it up in 13:12 and in 25:29. Now, let's take each one of these sayings and let's give them a characteristic. Number one, and each one of our 4 points now will start with a saying about. Number one, a saying about, and I think our key word is exhibiting light. Saying about exhibiting light, chapter 8 and verse 12. And the first thing to do in all of these is to be sure we understand the imagery. Though, 8:16. No one, after lighting a lamp, and the first part of the imagery is that of the lamp. And we need, obviously, to understand a lamp, in, as they did. Often our ideas, being Western, are totally different than those biblically. We think of a lamp associated with a lamp shade. We don't have lamp stands, really. We put a lamp on a side table or on a dresser or something of that sort. But to them, a lamp was, think of a saucer. It's the type of thing you often see with, what's that little, the characters that has Dopey and Sleepy and Snow White. And here is the lamp being held up, and it's got, it's saucer-like, it's got a handle, and it's got a spout, and in the spout goes the wick. The top of the lamp has two holes, one to pour in oil, one to let in air. And that's what we ought to be thinking. And you had to have some place to sit it. It was a portable light. And they used all kinds of ways of setting it up, often on a center post. They would attach a ledge, and when you went in the room, you just simply set down your lamp on the ledge of that. They would make coves in the wall where you could set the lamp. And this is the idea that is involved. So I'll just put with lamp, it was a terracotta saucer, often made of terracotta. Terracotta saucer, a nozzle with a wick, and the top of it with two holes in it, and it was portable. The second part of the imagery is the bed. Now, I remember this especially well when it says no one puts it under a bed I remember in Sunday school that being taught, and I sound very stupid, but I remember the teacher asking what would happen when they put the lamp under a bed. Well, a bed to me had four posts. And my answer was, you would burn the bed down. That is not exactly the point that Jesus had. Not talking about putting a lamp under a bed, and it's not safe to do that because you'll burn the bed down and probably the house with it. The idea is simply this. Get the biblical image of bed. It was a mat. And it was a mat that could be rolled up. Not that could be, but that was rolled up when you weren't using it. It would be a little clearer if we would say, puts it under a bedroll. And the idea was that rooms would be utilized for lots of things. They didn't have the luxury of a bedroom or a dining room or a kitchen. Often one room would go through many cycles in a day. So that when you were finished sleeping, you roll up the bed rolls, the bed or the mat that's spoken of here, you would roll it up, stash it away, and now you got a dining room or a kitchen or a sitting room or something of that sort. And therefore, with that idea in mind, he's simply saying, perhaps looking over to the corner with the rolled up mats, he's going to say, we're going to light this room. Are you going to roll the mats on top of it? Is that the appropriate place for it? And that is part of the imagery that is involved in this context. Now, what is the message that the imagery is intended to convey? And I'll put down what we've already asked. Is the subject witnessing or receiving? And I think our answer to that is the subject witnessing? No, not primarily. Now that will come in the last part of the verse very clearly. But the theme has been the kinds of ground on which the Word of God is received. So the message then, within context, would be this. Light is to be received personally. So that witness will occur automatically. To be received personally. So that the word is, or the witness is automatic. In other words, it seems to me that verses 16 through 18 ought to be viewed as Jesus is nailing down the teaching about the sower and the seed. And he's making that very pointed in this context. And that is his first theme about exhibiting the light. Put it in a prominent place in your life. And as a result, latter part of verse 16, it will be effective for someone else also. Number two, a saying about exhibiting light, and now a saying about concealing light. A saying about exhibiting, and now our key word is a saying about concealing light. 8:17. And again, this needs to be seen in its context. The words say, for nothing is hidden that shall not come to light. And our first word to focus on is the word hidden. Because the word hidden was a favorite of the Gnostics, of whom there were many. And they used it to refer to teachings, to ceremonies, to rites, R-I-T-E-S, rites, not intended for the masses, not intended for all, but only a select few. That's Gnosticism. It referred to all of their ideas that were not for the public eye. It referred even in a more concrete way to the writings of the Gnostics, which were never to be published. And so that aspect of it is in there. And consequently, Jesus is emphasizing, let's put this, things in rites not intended, versus the wide availability of what Jesus taught. Totally different approach. Wide availability of Jesus' teaching. It's for all, not for a select few. And I take it within context, what does he mean when he talks about secret things being revealed? What is our context? Our context is receiving of the Word. And he's saying this, sooner or later, our response to light will be known. Sooner or later, our response to light will be known. This is not per se a verse that is intended to horrify you as you review your teenage years and say, you mean everything I did is someday going to be publicized to the world? And I remember hearing that taught as though, as you sit here, someday, just like with a movie projector, everything you've ever done, said, thought is going to be flashed on the screen. And that is not the intent of Jesus' teaching. It is not the context of his teaching. What is the context? Receiving the Word of God, responding to light in the proper way. And therefore, the concept is, if you are going to respond as a good ground, as thorny ground, sooner or later, with the passage of time, what happens? It is revealed what the real... And therefore, the person or the seed that falls on the stony ground, it springs up, and it looks out, everything is fine. But time passes, there's no root, it wilts. And doesn't that fulfill exactly what he says in verse 6:17? Nothing is hidden that shall not become evident. You cannot hide response to the Word, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Again, around the theme of concealing the light is very, very, very important. Our response to the Word will eventually be known. Or let's put down what I think is a good principle on this particular verse, and it is this. Productivity or fruit is conditioned by receptivity. Productivity is conditioned by receptivity. And he's simply saying there is no way, if you receive it in the proper way, that there will not be production. And on the other hand, if we do not receive it in the proper way, there's no way that that can be hidden. So our receptivity is always going to scream and scream forth a loud, loud message. Third, saying about exhibiting, 16, a saying about concealing, 8:17. And now number three, a saying about receiving. Light. Our key word now is not exhibiting. Our key word is now receiving light. Chapter 8, 18a. Now, looking at 8:18a, which reads, again, one of the most common sayings by Jesus, therefore, take care how you listen. And this will be a very, very important theme. And we'll make one last point before we break, that the responsibility to listen and receive the Word or light has three facets. Number one, it is clear that we should hear. Underscoring the word that. number two is an emphasis on what we should hear. And third, an emphasis on how we should hear. Now I'm going to stop at that point because in our next lesson we will develop this idea out that we should hear, what we should hear, and how we should hear. And on the basis of this saying, we're going to find that all three of these things are emphasized. We'll find that little saying modified, be sure you listen, in, I believe it's Mark, of saying, be sure of how you listen. And another place will be sure that you listen and you're careful as to what you listen to. And these will all come under this umbrella, but we'll pick that up next time. Father, we're thankful today for your word. May we realize that this is not a game, this is serious. And that the way we respond to your word is noted by yourself. And you have built in blessing when there's positive response, but we recognize also that you have built in judgment. And if we lightly carry and listen to the word of God, then we will increasingly become hardened to it. And may we recognize, therefore, the seriousness of the judgment and yet the greatness of the blessing in listening with a positive mental attitude and believing and doing what your word says in Christ's name.